Hello and welcome to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that today's message will inspire you to grow in your journey of faith. We believe that hope is for everyone. So, no matter where you find yourself on your journey of faith, we believe Jesus is willing to meet you right where you're at. So again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Hey, is it okay for a pastor to admit that, like, sometimes there's pride that comes up? I was really proud of our church yesterday. It's cool because I was driving around in the golf cart. And I probably had the easiest job, just hype man. That was just my, you know. I went to Costco. Yeah, I went to Costco and I filled up a cooler and I made sure y'all had water and caffeine. But the police showed up for good reasons, by the way. They showed up and one of the officers comes up to me and he's like, wow, there's a lot of people here, right? And I'm like, yeah, you think there's a lot. We kind of undershot this thing. We're like, yeah, I'm like feeling the anxiety well up, you know. And he's like, man, so like what businesses did you guys partner with to like put this on? And like that's when the pride like came up. And I was like, I kind of leaned back in that golf cart. I got to tip my cowboy hat down a little bit. I said, you see, there was no one else but our church that put this on. And I was like, but in all honesty, I'm like, man, there were 130 some of you volunteers that put that on. I have one of my sons, he loves numbers, and he's like, Dad, I lost count after 2,400 people. And they're just, more than that, you guys, we're just believing that the seed that we continue to sow into this community is going to bear much fruit. That people are going to know that there's a God that loves them abundantly. And there's a group of kind of weird, crazy, kooky people like us that are willing to live life and journey with them and spread that love to them. So give yourselves a round of applause one more time just because you guys have done a great job. Hey, today, I don't know if you know, but we can take that photo of me. Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I kind of like the vibe, actually. Maybe I should preach like that every once in a while. But today's a special, special day. Not just because history says so and the calendar says so, but I'm believing that today's a special day for you. In fact, the resonating message that continues to just come up, it came up first service, I'm believing for this service and the next service, is that you're going to have a reason to smile again. You're going to have a reason to have joy again. You're going to have a reason to hope again, to believe again. And it's not just positive thinking. You're going to walk out of here today knowing that there's a God that has good things for you. Yes. And if you would dare and just believe, he's going to blow you away. He's going to go beyond your wildest of imagination. I'm telling you, he's a good God. And this idea of the resurrection of Jesus is crucial absolutely to history, but it's also crucial to the doctrine of Christianity. Here's why, because if we were to remove the resurrection, we're actually rejecting Jesus as a whole. In fact, Jesus had to come and, as it was prophesied, be born of a virgin, live without sin, be handed into the hands of those that would crucify him, and on the third day he would leave that tomb. And this is why today is so important, because it is at the cornerstone and the heart of Christianity. Yes. Without the resurrection, we don't have Jesus. Without the resurrection, Jesus is just another great teacher that walked this earth. Today, we celebrate this beautiful day because it is to be a day that is to be protected. It is a day to be biblically understood. It is a day to be learned and deepened. And it is my hope that together it would deepen your sense of hope for whatever may come in your life. Did you know that the very truth of the resurrection has been under attack since the moment it happened? Yeah. In fact, when the tomb was found to be empty, the first response of all the skeptics was, well, somebody stole the body. Today we know that that's not the case. And so I want to talk to you about this idea of how the resurrection means that there is hope for all people. One of the things we love to say around Legacy Church is it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you've done, and no, that's not a Backstreet Boys song. Come on, 90s kids. It is what we believe in our heart of hearts. Can we talk about Backstreet Boys on Easter Sunday? Sure. We're going to do that. We're already there. And here's the deal. It means that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you were born in the right family, at the right place, at the right time. Jesus is available to you, my friend. So would you open up your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to be reading today just 12 verses, verse 1 through 12. I'm reading today out of the New Living Translation, and it says this: "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance." Verse 3, "So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened." Come on, how many of you know that when you've got good news, you can't help but go tell everybody about it? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. No harp on you, gentlemen, but sometimes we are thick-headed. Come on. So they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray your word would reveal your Son to us. We know that when we see Jesus, our lives are never the same again. And so that's my prayer for every person in this room today, that our lives will never be the same again as we encounter you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, have you ever lost something? You go looking for it, and after maybe a couple minutes or several hours of looking for it, you finally just give up. You're not going to find it, right? So you just kind of give up the search. Anybody? You know, in my house, there's this weird, I think it's like either a fairy or a gnome. I still have yet to decide. That seems to make every pair of socks disappear. And like, anybody like you send it through the wash and you could have sworn it was a pair of socks, but the dryer spits out only one of the socks, right? And so at our house, there's seven people that we live there, right? And so on Saturday mornings, we do what's called a blitz family clean. We maintain the house all week long. And then on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10, we're going to get the house just perfectly clean. And if we all pitch in, we're all going to do a good job and it's going to be done well. And so my job is the laundry. And so what I do is I line up all the socks and I can never find the mate. So then I just kind of give up. And then they stay there on the handrail of our stairs. And throughout the week, the kids just grab socks. You know? And I don't know about you, but it never ceases to amaze me that the thing I give up looking for, the next time I go and look for something else, say my wife goes, "Hey, can you look in the junk drawer for that measuring tape that I left there?" I go to the junk drawer. Lo and behold, I don't find the measuring tape, but I do find what I was looking for weeks ago that I gave up on looking. Anybody? Does that happen to anybody else, right? Where you go looking for something and you don't find that, but you find something else. Well, can I tell you, this is what happened with these women as they showed up to the tomb looking for something, and they got more than they were bargaining for. Can I tell you, in Jesus, no matter what you're looking for, he will always exceed your wildest expectations. Jesus always gives us more than we were bargaining for. I don't know if you noticed this, but the women actually had great intentions that they showed up. I mean, you and I, we know the story, and we know that he's no longer there, but they didn't know that, so we can kind of harp on him and go, I can't believe they showed up looking, you know, why are you looking amongst the dead for he who lives? Well, Last time I checked, the tomb is for the dead, so that's why I'm here looking for the dead in a tomb, right? They were looking for the right thing, seemingly at the right place. But I want to ask you today, are there things in your life that maybe you're looking for and you've looked in all the wrong places? And today I want to talk to you very briefly. It's my Easter present to you. I'm going to preach only for 79 minutes today. Some of you are wondering when this next service will begin. When it begins. I'm teasing. We'll cut that in about 3/4. I'm just teasing. Some of you are not good at math. But I want to very quickly, if I continue to joke, I'm not going to get through this very quickly. So I'm going to stop joking. I'm going to get through this. Wow, I still got another service to preach. I got to calm down. All right, listen, just track with me, you guys. Just stay with me. I want to submit to you three thoughts as they relate to the resurrection. And as we look at the resurrection story, I think there's three kind of takeaways that I want us to walk away with. And the first one is actually a question. I want to ask you today, what are you looking for and where are you looking for it? What are you looking for in your life? What are you looking for in relationships? What are you looking for? Where are you looking for it? Maybe I could even rephrase this question to say, what are you looking to and where are you looking for that? Or who are you looking to? You know, we're all looking for something, whether it's safety, security, purpose. We're all looking for something. I find it interesting that these women had resigned to the idea that Jesus was truly dead and would stay dead. And so I don't know if you know this, but what they had come to do was actually right and it was good. It was culturally the norm for them to come in and be able to treat the body with a specific ritual, with the oils and different wrappings that they would do. But aren't you and I that way sometimes? We look at the circumstances around us and we simply give in. Now I want to submit to you today that in Jesus, you've actually got a different option. You don't have to just settle for the circumstances that you see with your own natural eyes. In fact, I think you and I have the ability to actually believe for more, almost as if the Bible says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what He has prepared for those that love Him. Almost as if it doesn't matter what we think of, imagine, or can even dare to ask, He's got greater in store for us. I hope that's good news for somebody today. Maybe you're like me and you've actually looked for Jesus in all the wrong places. Maybe you've looked for purpose and salvation and healing and fulfillment. You're looking for something good, but you're looking in all the wrong places. Or perhaps you've looked at the right place for the wrong reason. Or maybe you've looked to the wrong person for the right reason. Or maybe the right person for the wrong reason. Wherever it may be, today I want to spur you on to look to Jesus. For all that you are looking for, dare I say, for all your heart longs for. It's only in He and He alone that your life will find complete fulfillment and your soul will find rest. But we know this. Culture sells us things to look to all the time, right? I mean, it's easy. In fact, it's at our fingertips, right? Social media, we look to it all the time, right? We actually can even access our own bank accounts at our own fingertips. We look to our bank accounts. We look to family. We look to relationships. We look to status. We look to what our family dynamics look like in front of everyone else. We look at money. We look at the future. We look at all these things. And today, I want to propose to you that we are to look to the right person in the right place at the right time. Today, I want to invite you, my friend, to look to Jesus and His power in all your circumstances and all intentions and reasons of your, and seasons, excuse me, of your life. Would you look to Him? The book of Psalm chapter 121 is a beautiful beautiful moment in scripture that says this: I lift up my eyes to the hills. In other words, what am I looking to? From where does my help come? And the psalmist answers, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then he begins to beautifully describe what the Lord is like. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Goes on to say in the fifth verse, the Lord is our keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. And then look at the benefits of looking to the Lord. Look at this. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep. Are you seeing keep? You're going out and you're coming in from this forth and forevermore. In other words, you are protected. You are kept. You, my friend, when you look to God, when you look to the Lord, when you look to Jesus, there is great benefit for your soul.
Yes.
And in fact, I would want to say this. He actually rejoices when you look to him.
Right. Yep.
Did you know God's not hiding from you?
Yep.
Hey, I know some of you might feel and circumstances might tell you that it seems as though God is nowhere to be found. In fact, I actually have heard many Christians say things like this. Oh, the day I found Jesus. Let me give you a different perspective. The one doing the seeking was him. It says that he came to seek and save the lost. When you weren't even looking for him, he came looking for you. And I want to tell you today, God's not playing hide and seek and hiding up in your attic. No, he's looking for you. And I want to tell you, he rejoices when you look to him. And I know that not everyone in this room knows me personally, but can I tell you this? What I'm about to say is not because I lived a perfect life, because I've lived a stress-free life. What I'm about to say is not because, oh, my life has been so easy. My marriage is always roses and blooming. My wife, just like the women would meet their husbands when they came home from war in Bible time, meets me in the driveway every day with a feast, right? And rose petals as I come in and my parade in my truck, right? Like, no, like my children don't all listen to me 24/7 on the first time. Come on, first time obedience parents. Help me out here, right? Like, I'm not saying my finances are always in the black and I'm always prosperous and I've never... No. What I'm about to say comes from a gut-wrenching place that knows what it is to be in pain, knows what it is to have been backstabbed, knows what it is to have lost everything, knows what it is to dig holes for myself that I can't dig out of. But can I tell you, when I have looked to Jesus, I have found hope. I have found joy. I have found purpose. I have found salvation, comfort, guidance, provision, and all the things that my heart longed for. And so today, my friend, if you're here, whether somebody dragged you to church because it's Easter Sunday, by the way, welcome CEO Christians, Christmas, Easter, occasional, y'all are welcome here too. No matter where you're at, I want to encourage you, would you look to Jesus, and it's only in him that you will find all your heart and soul are longing for. Second thing I want to talk to you about that the resurrection offers us is a common theme around here. And quite frankly, it's not just a cute tagline that we slap on the wall here or we paint it on the wall on Meridian Road. It's a biblical anchor for all of us. And that is this, that the resurrection means that hope is available for all people. I hope this is good news for somebody today. It's available for all people. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 10. I find it interesting here that we've got a list of women that the Bible decides to list out for us. It says it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. Now, I know we live in 2024 and we're a long ways away from what culture would say and teach back then, but just want to bring you into when this time was written. When this time was written, women were simply a means to an end. There was no value in women, placed in women in that culture. In fact, women were considered lesser than. And let me just tell you something. God created man and woman, and though he gave them different functions, he places the same value in both.
Yes.
And so I think it's interesting, and I don't know if you caught it, but in a culture that devalued and outcasted and, dare I say, used women, the resurrection is not first revealed to the powerful, faithful, religious men. It's revealed to the rest of us. Come on, are you with me? See, I'm interested in building a church that I want to be able to say, this is church for the rest of us. Right? I don't know if you've ever read the third chapter, 16th verse of the book of John that says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But then that's beautiful, and that's a lot of people's favorite parts. But my favorite part is this: so that whosoever. And I don't know about you, but I'm a whosoever. And women in this time, and they were the whosoever. They were the cultural outcast. And I know it's hard to believe for us today because we've come a long way. But I think God is sending us a clear message here. My message of hope is for all people.
Yes. Amen.
Let me just push a little more. Even though it's Easter Sunday and I'm supposed to behave. My wife said, nah, so I'm not gonna. Mary Magdalene, just previous moments, even just a short amount of time prior to this moment in history, is a demon-possessed prostitute. The resurrection is first revealed to an ex-demon-possessed prostitute. Now, I know I'm supposed to behave, but let's push. I get that in our cushy life here in the Treasure Valley, where we go to church in our Sunday best, and we worship with like-minded people, this kind of pushes some nerves to think, dirty people, people that don't look like us, people that don't vote like us, people that don't come from the same background, that's who this hope is available to.
Yes.
And I wish I could get a much stronger amen from that. But maybe you're just letting that reality sink in, or maybe you're kind of just letting the offense glaze over and then letting the truth of that. Here's where it's going to get more offensive, but it's a good kind of offensive. This is why the gospel begins with an offensive reality, is that all of us, say with me, all of us.
All of us.
All of us are this demon-possessed prostitute.
Yep. Yes.
Welcome to Easter at Legacy. You're like, I invited a friend. Like, now you're up there calling us demon-possessed. By the way, in the day of YouTube, do not grab that little clip, you know, and make it go viral. But here's the connection I want to make. The Bible's clear. It says that all of us,
yes,
have fallen short of God's glorious
standard.
That's
right. Yes.
None of us are exempt. And so I hope that releases some of you today that are here striving to just be good.
Right.
You ever see a fig tree go fig, 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 fig? That would be awkward, wouldn't it? Well, let me break it to you. Some of you are like, do good, do good, do good, do good. And we're all like, relax. See, when we recognize our state, when we recognize that all of us are that sinful nature, when we encounter a God that goes, hey, you didn't deserve this, but I'm gifting it to you, something beautiful begins to take place.
Yes, it's true.
Come on, hope is for all people.
Yeah.
By the way, not harping on men at all, but I do find it interesting that men at that, especially in that time were a figure of power, right? And yet they were too fearful. The reason why they were nowhere to be found at first is because they were actually too fearful to be found out as Jesus followers. It was actually the men that were supposed to show up and take care of the body, but they were nowhere to be found. They were holed up because they were so fearful of people finding out that they were Jesus followers. And the women had the guts to show up and be the front line. Come on. I believe this speaks to how he takes those that are lesser from the world, the outcasts, and he puts them on what I call his trophy of grace display case.
Yeah, good.
Come on, you might be here today and you might be going, I am that, Tony, you don't understand. No, I get it. Welcome to the club. Mm-hmm. There's hope for you. Yeah. He came for the lowly. He came for the outcast. And can I tell you, and can I hopefully free you from this self-sufficiency striving that most of us can so quickly fall into and go, if we would simply surrender and know and understand that I am the outcast. Yeah. I am the whosoever. God will do much more with that than I've got it all together. Let me add to this by saying Jesus is not just for everyone, but he's for everyone at all times. So can I encourage you today? It's not just Jesus sprinkled into like the thing I do. No, he wants your all in all. The third and final point I want you to walk away with today is this, is some of us, we want to be able to fully understand before we jump in. But can I play with some words today and tell you, you don't have to get it to fully get it. Do you get it?
Yes.
That was pretty genius, you guys. Come on. First service had less people and they laughed harder at that one. Okay, let's try it again. You don't have to get it to get it. Do you get it? Okay. Some of you are still confused. So let me put it in a different way. You don't have to fully understand the power and presence and person of Jesus before you fully receive who he is. And that should be good news for somebody here today. You don't have to fully understand his ways. You don't have to fully understand the whys behind. But in fact, I would venture to say there's even more impact when you go, I may not be able to explain it, but I know something happened.
Yes.
Come on, I may not be able to explain it when that person started playing the old school tambourine in church that day, and like something happened. Like, I may not be able to explain what happened that day that I encountered the presence of God, but something happened in my life. You don't have to fully understand before you receive it. Luke 24, 11 to 12, I gotta begin to land the plane. It says, the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, say with me, however. Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. How are you still wondering? Did anybody else catch that? Leave that slide up, guys. But did you catch that? He goes into the tomb. Okay, so he hears this, right? I'm going to go see for myself. He goes, and then he walks away like, wait, what happened? Reminds me of like 13-year-old boys. I picked an age that none of my boys are at right now. They're either a year ahead or a year behind, and they're on their way there. Right? It's like, wait, you said, here's what I want to say. Peter gets a bad rap all the time. If you know any of the scripture, if you know the gospels, you know Peter's a dude that attempted to walk on water, and then he gets a bad rap for, well, he took his eyes off of Jesus, so that's why he began to sink. Amen. And it's like, at least he got out of the boat. Like, you know why I like Peter? The homie tried. Like, he didn't play it safe. He's like, sure, let's do this. Right? Like, oh, well, he started cutting ears off way too soon. I don't know, like, have my back, you know? That's the kind of dude I want. Like, let's go. I don't need you, like, blindly following. Like, be awake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like Peter. I really do. And then he goes on, hear me, hear me, hear me. I know I'm being comical, but hear me. He goes on to deny Jesus three times. Three times he has a chance to get it right. He still does it. Then, look at this. Then as he sees the linens, oh, I wonder what happened. But you guys, look at this. Look at what's beautiful about how God, hear me, God uses a guy that didn't fully get it to begin to pour out his Holy Spirit. Because if you continue to read your Bible, and I don't have time to go into this, if you continue to go through the Gospels and then into the book of Acts, you begin to see that there's this beautiful day called the Day of Pentecost. And on the Day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit falls, and it says 3,000 people were saved, you want to know who was preaching on that day? I wonder what happened. That's who was preaching.
Let's go. Thank you, Lord. That's beautiful.
He didn't have to fully get it to be used by God. I hope this message brings you great hope and great joy. Do you see the victory that Peter was able to have through his revelation of who Jesus was? It's available to you. Now, as we begin to wrap up today, I want to talk to some of you today that you would say, hey, I'm not just a believer. I'm a disciple and a follower. I want to honor God in all that I do. I want to live for Jesus. If that's you today, I want to let you know that this message that has resurrection power in it is not something that we now hold in and have for ourselves only. In fact, we are now called to be spreaders, if you will, of this great message. This is actually why part of our vision statement here at the church is that we would follow Jesus, we would love and serve people, and we would carry the message of hope for all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 15 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all." There is that word all again. Therefore all have died. And he died for all. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I want to encourage you today that you would not just take this message for yourself, and you should for yourself. But then now that you've received this message, that you, like the women, would go and tell that you would allow the love of God to be what now controls you. And that if you've concluded that if he has died for all, that means now I've got to go and tell everybody. And so today I want to encourage you to look at every opportunity that you get and that you have to go and tell everybody. Because this hope that you have, that you've experienced, it's available for all people. Yeah, that's right, for that pesky neighbor. That's right, for your boss at work. Come on, for that family member who's made your life miserable, put the name in there. And go and carry that message of hope for all people. Now, as we turn to a moment of response, as always, we want to offer everyone in this room an opportunity that if you've never given your life over to Jesus before, that you, as we just said, that even if you don't understand what all that looks like, that you would be able to even just begin to ask those questions. So if you're here today, I'm going to ask everyone in this room to close their eyes. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to start a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you're in the category of, I've done that before, but I've walked away and I want to come back. And I want to start a fresh new relationship with him. If that's you this morning, would you simply slip your hand up in the air and let me pray for you? If you're saying, I want to begin a relationship, I see that hand. I see that other hand. On any other hands this morning. I see that other hand as well. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. More than me seeing, God sees who you are and your story. Come on, let's all together pray this together with these people. Say with me, Jesus, I recognize that I can't go at this alone. So today, I want to begin a relationship with you. Show me your ways. Teach me your ways. I ask for forgiveness. I ask now that you would wash me and that you would make me new. I make you my Lord and my Savior. And from this day forward, I want to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Beautiful. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would love to follow up with you. And so in a second here, we would love for you to just head over to the back of the sanctuary to the cross. And there's people there that are trained and they're really kind and they're really awesome and they're not going to make you feel weird. If you have questions about this decision that you're making, they can answer those questions. They can walk you through it. If you need prayer at any time for anything, you can head on out of your seats and head over to the cross and get some prayer. We also want to open up our communion tables. We've got communion tables in the front and in the back. We do this every Sunday in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus. As we take the broken bread that signifies his broken body for us, and we dip it into the cup, which signifies his blood that was shed for the cleansing of our sins. And as we respond together, I always want to offer you a moment of reflection and going, God, what do I need to give over to you? So let me pray for you, and then we'll respond together. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray now that as we reflect and respond to your word, that you would stir our hearts. Cause us, Lord God, to be the people that understand, Lord, that we need to look to you at all times. Help us, Lord, accept and live out the fact that hope is available to all of us. And ultimately, Father God, we want our lives to reflect the power that is found in the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for every life here today. And as we now respond in communion and in prayer and in reflection, you would continue to do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you once again for joining us today. We hope today's message encouraged you, challenged you, and caused your faith to grow. If you enjoyed today's message, we highly encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. That way you don't miss out on any future messages. To get to know us, to get connected with us, and to know how you can best partner with us, head to our website, legacychurchid.com, or come see us in person at our campus in Meridian, Idaho. We look forward to connecting with you. May God bless you and have a great rest of your day.